Today we are concluding a three-week series we have been in called Misquoted. Have you guys enjoyed this series, Misquoted? Man, did God really say that? We're just kind of taking some phrases that sound spiritual, that sound godly, that sound like something that God might actually say. And here's the realization that God didn't really say it. And here's why this series matters, because when we believe things that God never said, we'll start missing what God is actually saying. And it's important for us to hear what God is actually saying, because misquoting God will lead us to misunderstanding God. And if the enemy can't get you to outright reject God, he'll settle for you starting to believe something that's not true about him. We go all the way back to Genesis 3 in the beginning of time in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve say, "We can't eat from this tree." And the serpent shows up, Satan shows up and says, "Did God really say that?" He didn't deny God. He actually acknowledged God. He just distorted the words of God. Distortion will change everything. The enemy doesn't need to just remove truth. He just needs to slightly twist it, get you to believe something other than God, and he'll even make it sound like God. So in this series, we're trying our best to expose some common phrases, some common ideas that might sound biblical, but they're not actually what God said. And so last week, or actually we'll start in week one, we kicked off the series with this misquote about being baptized. Do you have to be baptized to be saved? Was what we wanted to tackle. There are full denominations that believe that if you are not baptized, then you are not saved. You do not have salvation. But what we learned was that baptism is not a requirement for salvation. It is the result of salvation. You don't get baptized to be saved. You get baptized because you are saved. Baptism is what saved people do. It is what the people of God do. We do get saved, and then we get baptized to show that we are saved. And we talked about this idea of what happens, that baptism is a symbol of what happened on the cross, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. When you get into the baptism tub, you are saying, "I died with Christ on that cross. I no longer live. It is Christ who lives through me. I died to my way of living, the old me." And then you are buried. You're put under. And in that process, you're burying your sin. You're burying your past. You're putting a tombstone there saying, "I died to that. How can I go back to it any longer?" And then you are raised with Christ to walk a new life. You are resurrected with him to walk the life that he died to give you. It's a beautiful picture. And it's an honor, it's a privilege to be baptized to show what Christ has done in each and every one of us. We talked about that week one. Week two, last week, we hit a big one. I had a lot of fun with this one, y'all. But we talked about this. God just wants you to be happy. Not doing that again. Just kidding. No music coming in. We played a lot of music, had some fun, but we discovered that that's not true. And because if happiness is your goal, you'll start to use God instead of follow God because you want to be happy. So we said that God doesn't want you to be happy if it leads you away from him. You see, God doesn't want you building your life on things that won't last and simply don't matter. Because God's highest calling for your life is not your happiness. It's that you would be formed and transformed and ultimately blessed by him. So we said, don't chase happiness, chase God. And when you chase God, you don't just find happiness, you find something better than happiness. This week, we're going to conclude our series with another misquote. I got to be honest, I've said this before. I went to Bible school and I thought this was in the Bible, okay? So maybe you have been guilty of this. Maybe you've said this misquote before. Here it is right here. God will never give you more than you can handle. That sounds right. That's somewhere in the New Testament, right? Like, that feels comforting. That sounds pretty spiritual. That sounds like a good piece of encouragement for somebody. But it's just not true. It's a misquote. And the danger is not that it's just wrong. The danger is what that misquote will do to people if they believe it. Because it puts weight on you that you were never meant to carry. So now, because you're carrying something you are not meant to carry, when life hits, when anxiety shows up, when the pressure builds, when everything starts to stack on top of you, you don't just feel overwhelmed, you start to question yourself, and even worse, you begin to question God. What's wrong with me? I'm trying my best to hold everything. You'll never give me more than I can handle. And so I'm obviously supposed to carry this. I'm supposed to handle this. But I'm falling apart. You know, if God said I could handle it, then why do I feel like this is crushing me? Why do I feel like giving up? And now you're not just carrying the weight of life, you're carrying the weight of thinking you're supposed to be strong enough to hold that which you're carrying. So if you're taking message notes, that's where we're going today. The title of this morning's message is this misquote, which is, God will never give you more than you can handle. Let's pray. God, we love you and we thank you for the word that you want to speak into us today, God. You want to correct some things in us. So Lord, we thank you and ask that you would speak to us now in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. How many of y'all like to work out? Oh, come on. I'm going to do a little message illustration up here, and I'm not going to do it. So I need someone to work out for me. Who is the most fit person in the room? Who is the guy that works out all the time? Who is that, like a CrossFit coach or somebody who competes in the CrossFit? Oh, Pastor Dustin. Pastor Dustin, will you help me? Are you not doing that? What you did last time? Not this time? No?
Oh, it was so sweaty.
Okay, don't do it. Okay.
I did.
Pastor Dustin, last service, had a shirt that said, what did it say?
Jesus is the ultimate deadlifter.
But he sweat through it. So, you're about to see why I didn't sign up for this. But Pastor Dustin, what I want you to do, this is a message illustration, all right, church? This is trying to illustrate your life, and I'm going to talk you through this while my brother here does what I ask him to do. It's amazing. So I'm going to have him just do some simple deadlifts here, okay? This is how life starts. It's manageable. Man, you've got work, you've got school, you got some relationships, you got a mortgage, you got CrossFit, all right? It's nothing. It's not a big deal. You've got it. You're handling it. You're holding it. You feel in control. It feels good. How do you feel, Pastor D? Feel pretty good. How many of y'all would be dead right now? He's feeling good. This is second service. All right, so go ahead and just set it down. And boys, I need you to add some weight to Pastor Dustin's bar here, all right? Because this is what life does. It starts to pile on little by little, and yeah, make sure your stance is good. You want me to coach you up? He literally broke the stage last service. So, CrossFit people, do I need to correct him on his form? Where are you at? But now it's a little heavier. This is pressure, right? The pressure is building. Expectations start to build. Deadlines start stacking up. Responsibilities increase. Your boss asks you to take on more and more and more. And you're still doing your best to hold on to everything, but then you begin to feel it. He doesn't look like he's feeling it, but I think he's starting to feel it. All right, so go ahead. Let's put some more weight on it, because I don't know if he's feeling it yet. He's not convincing me. You start to feel it. You need some help, Jay? Kilos. Just we're European in here. This is America, dude. Okay. So now it's a little different. Now I feel the movement of the stage. Pastor D's veins are popping out of his forehead. Maybe his arms are starting to feel a little bit. His legs are starting to feel a little bit. This is when anxiety hits you. This is the stuff that you don't like to talk about. This is the pressures that nobody else sees. You look great on the outside, but on the inside, man, you're starting to feel it. You're doing your best to hold on, but it's not easy anymore. Let's add some more weight, boys. Let's add some more weight. Should I slow down? Should I slow down a little bit more? All right, I got you. How much weight is this?
It's not much.
It doesn't look like a lot, you pansy. All right. Yeah. Now this is, it's getting real, right? This is the moment that you didn't plan for. This is the loss you've experienced. This is the bad news that just hits you. This is the relationship that's fallen apart. This is when depression hits. This is the thing that you never saw coming. And really, you don't know how much longer you can go on. You're trying. You're trying to hold it together. You're trying to be strong. And this is the moment when someone walks up to you and says, God will never give you more than you can handle.
I can't handle it.
Listen. That was not failure. That was reality. He went until he couldn't go anymore, and he dropped the weight.
Thank you.
You were a man, and I'm glad I didn't do this. Give it up for them. Oh, I'm so glad I didn't do that. I thought I was going to, and I realized, what am I thinking? He's holding it together. I got this. And he actually dropped before he was supposed to. That was not failure. That was reality. Because you're trying to carry it by yourself. And the problem is, it's not that it's too heavy. The problem is it was never meant for you to carry in the first place. You don't need more strength. He's the strongest person. You don't need more strength. You need a different source. This weight on the ground right here, that's where some of you are. Not because you failed, but because you were never meant to carry the weight that you have been carrying. And the lie, the misquote, is what kept you holding on longer than you should have. Because you believe, God will never give me more than I can handle, so you burn out. You think it's your job to carry what has been given to you, so you grip it tighter, you push harder. CrossFit, you take your shirt off. I don't know why that helps, but they do it all the time, right? And it's wearing you out. So let me give you the truth. You ready for this? God will absolutely give you more than you can handle. He'll absolutely give you more. And he does it on purpose. Not to crush you, but to form you. Not to destroy you, but to draw you in closer. So the question is not, will God give me more than I can handle? The real question is, why would God give me more than I can handle? So why do people even say, God won't give you more than you can handle? The Bible says, right? Well, it actually comes from a misunderstanding. I believe this is the origination of this. It's a misquote. It's a very real and powerful verse. It's just misquoted. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's not talking about life in general. He's talking about temptation. Why don't you read this verse with me, and you might be able to hear the misquote. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, God is faithful, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. You hear it in there? He won't give you more than you can handle, but it's not what it says. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out. This is about temptation, not pressure. This is about sin, not suffering. This is about moral compromise, not the weight of life. Scripture says that God won't give you more than you can handle. Does it? Because what I just read, it says that he won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He'll always provide a way out. That's very different. So when you step back and you actually take a look at the entire scriptures, what you see in the Bible is not people who are just trying to hold on, trying to carry. What you see is people who are overwhelmed. The Bible is full of people who are just trying to make it. Gideon says, I am the weakest in my family. Moses says, I am not a good speaker. I don't have what it takes. Esther says, I am afraid. And David, in Psalm 38, says this, verse 4 and 8, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of my heart. That doesn't sound like someone who's hanging on, holding it together. Jesus, even in Mark 14, goes there. In Mark 14, verse 33, it says this, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." This is before he goes to the cross, the Garden of Gethsemane. He's sweating drops of blood because of the anguish. God never said you would always be able to handle what you are carrying. In fact, all throughout Scripture, you see people who just can't take it anymore. They're brought to the end of themselves. And if that's true, then the question shifts. Not will God give me more than I can handle, but rather, why would God give me more than I can handle? That's the question you should be asking today. Why would God allow you to carry the weight that you've been carrying? Why would God allow you to feel overwhelmed and stretched to the breaking point? I want to give you two reasons today, if you're taking message notes, why God will give you more than you can handle. Two reasons why. Here's the first one, to break your self-reliance and learn to depend on Him. God will allow you to carry more than you can handle, to break your self-reliance, and to depend on Him. Let me ask you something. I see this all the time as a pastor, but when life is going really well, what I see in people is that when life is going well, they quickly forget about God. I'm sure you've seen this in life. Like when everything is working, when things are going smooth, when my prayers are being answered, I got the promotion, I got the house, I got the car, marriage is good, kids are good. God, I know you're there, but I don't really need you right now. I've got this. But then life happens, and stuff starts to fall apart. The pressure hits, the moment breaks, and everything changes. And quickly, it's God, where are you? God, I need you. Can't you see that I'm here? Where are you? It's amazing how quickly comfort makes us casual. It's amazing how quickly comfort makes us casual and how quickly pain makes us desperate. You see this all throughout Scripture. I did a series on Jonah, and you see it in the life of Jonah. God says, go to Nineveh. He says, no, thank you. And he runs the opposite direction. And what happens? His life starts to spiral out of control. Storm hits. He's on a boat. He gets tossed from the boat. He's in the water, and a fish swallows Jonah. And Jonah is in the belly of a fish at the bottom of his life, the lowest point of his life. And watch what he says in Jonah 2:2. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. Notice how he didn't say, in my success, I called to the Lord. In my comfort, I called to the Lord. In my full control, I called to the Lord. No, he says, in my distress, I called to the Lord. Because sometimes God will allow you to feel distress. God will allow you to feel overwhelmed. How many of us are saying, that's Satan, I rebuke you, Satan? And God's like, that's me. God allows you to feel overwhelmed. Why? So that you look up. You learn to call upon Him. You finally recognize that I can't do this on my own. I love what the Bible says about God. This is a characteristic of God. Two verses for you. Psalm 145, 18 says this, the Lord is near to all who call on Him. What a beautiful scripture. Look at this one, James 4, 8. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. It's the beautiful thing about the God that we worship. As you lean into Him, His response is to lean back into you. No matter what you're going through, no matter where you have been, no matter what you said about God, He leans right back into you. Man, I have to, as a pastor, sometimes I have to preach through my problems. I have problems too, and if I'm honest with you, I feel like I'm in a bit of a storm right now. There's a lot that I'm facing behind the scenes that is just difficult for me. I was even talking to one of my pastors, Pastor Steve, last night, just talking to him, telling him what's going on, looking for some counsel, seeking some advice. You want to know what Pastor Steve's response was to me? He says, Pastor Jared, we need to pray and fast. Come on, Pastor Steve, like, can't you tell me, like, how to solve this issue? Can't you tell me exactly what to do and so this problem will go away? I'm here to tell you there's some things that won't be solved except by prayer and fasting. I am guilty of this, y'all. This is one of my biggest downfalls as your pastor, is I will try to strategically position my way out of a problem because I feel like I can do it. I feel like I'm smart enough. But some things only come out by prayer and fasting. Some of you are in a storm right now. And instead of running to God, you're beginning to question God. Why is this happening to me? I thought you were a good God. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of our God. Because He promised that He will never leave you nor forsake you, no matter what you face. So, we allow the storm in front of us to lead us to the God who's waiting on us. You know, I'm convinced, I see it, that God will, in fact, allow you to reach a place where you can't go anymore, where you finally drop the weight, where you finally learn to turn to Him. Not as an option, but as your only option, your only source. So if you're overwhelmed today, if it feels what you are carrying heavier than you thought, if it feels like you're about to drop the weight, you're not abandoned, you're being invited by God. Invited into dependence, invited into a closeness with God, invited into the presence of God. So if the first thing that God is doing is drawing you near to Him, drawing you into His presence, then the second is just as powerful because God doesn't just want you to turn to Him, He wants you to experience Him. And that's the second reason why God will allow you to carry more than you can handle, because He wants to reveal His power to you and to teach you to trust Him. So not only does He want you to break your self-reliance that I got this, but He also wants you to experience His power. You know, if I brought Pastor Dustin back up here, you want to come back up here? No, you don't want to come back up here. I know. Never volunteering for another message illustration again. How much weight is really on here? 255. It's lightweight, dude. 255. Just kidding. If I had him come back up here and say, hey, I want you to deadlift 255 pounds for an entire 5 minutes without stopping. What do you think he would do? Oh, I'm coming. You know, like, only 5 minutes? Yeah. He's going to come every single time because, ladies, that's how we are wired as men, okay? You can tell us that you can't do it. We hear, I bet you can't. I'm about to prove you wrong, all right? That's how we are wired, all right? We will fail in the process, but by God, we got up there and we tried our absolute best until we passed out, right? So Pastor D gets up here, he gets under the weight, he starts going. At first, he looks strong, he looks locked in, he looks focused. But give it time, his arms will start to shake. His grip will start to slip. His strength will begin to fade, and eventually, he will drop the weight. Why? Not because he's weak, but because he was never meant to carry that kind of weight for that long on his own. Now, if I had Jay and Nate come back up here and worked with him, you think he could go 5 minutes? I think so. Because all of a sudden, same weight, different outcome. Because he's not carrying it alone. I think that's how many of you are living today. I got this. Don't tell me what to do. I'll make it. I can handle it. I'll figure this out. And you're trying to prove something. And God is saying, hey, I'll help you. Because that what you're carrying, I didn't create you to carry that alone. And the moment that you realize that you're not supposed to carry and handle everything is the moment that everything in your life will change. That's when you stop relying on your own strength and you start experiencing the power of God. That's when you stop trying to control and manage everything and you learn to trust Him. In 2 Corinthians 12, we see the Apostle Paul is dealing with something and he cannot fix it. He calls it a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what this thorn is, but we know that he can't escape it. It is there. It is plaguing him. It is hurting him. Some say it was an actual thorn. Some say it was a sickness. And some say it was a person. How many resonate with that? Y'all have a thorn in your side? Any thorns in your life today? Either way, it was bothersome for him, and he could not get away from this thorn. So what does he do? He prays. He seeks God. He asks God again. The Bible says again and again. Three times, he asks God to take it away from him. And what you need to know about these three times is he didn't go to God three times and say, "Hey, God, I'm praying right now. Would you take this away? Hey, God, I ask one more time. Would you take it away? Hey, God, a third time, will you take..." No, what this actually means is he went through three different seasons of this thorn. And he was begging and pleading, "God, will you remove this thorn from my side? Here again, I am again in a new season, and I still am dealing with the same thorn." Some of you know exactly what that feels like. It's another season, same problem. God, fix this. God, change this. God, heal this. God, remove this. And nothing changes. Season after season, same struggle. So God comes to Paul, and he answers Paul not the way that we would expect him to answer. He says this in 2 Corinthians 12:9. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness." What? So Paul responds, "Therefore," okay, "then I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight..." He takes this step further. "I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, in thorns. For when I am weak, then I am strong." It's not your strength. It's not the fact that you can hold it all together. It's in your weakness, he becomes strong and he makes you strong. It's the moment that you run out is the moment that God steps in. The moment that you can't, the moment you drop the weight in failure is the moment that he steps in and picks it up. You're trying. We see you. Your arms are shaking. You are fatigued. You are sweating, bro. You can't hold on anymore. And you finally say, "I don't have it. I'm dropping. I can't do it." And you drop and you realize that was not the end. It actually is the beginning. And Paul responds in a way that kind of is odd in the beginning. He says, "Okay, I'm going to boast in my weakness." Meaning I'm going to embrace being weak. Meaning I'm going to delight in my weakness. In that problem, in that issue, in that situation. I'm going to delight that it is there. Why would anyone say that? Paul discovered something. When I am weak, he is strong, and he makes me strong. When I don't have it, he has it, and he gives it to me. When I run out, he fills me, and I'm able to push through. You see, most of us are trying to live life on our own strength. We are grinding. We are pushing. We are forcing. We are trying to make it happen. But God never called you to power your way through life. He called you to rely on His power for your life. Some of you have been asking, "Why isn't God taking this away from me? Why isn't He fixing my problem? Why isn't he answering my prayer?" And maybe, just maybe, God didn't remove it because he wants to meet you in the middle of it. What good would it do if he just solved your problem? His power is not revealed when you can handle life. His power is revealed when you can't handle life. So yeah, God will give you more than you can handle. So stop trying to live without Him and start experiencing what only He can do, which is to give you His power. When you are weak, He is strong. I don't know who's hurting today, but I feel this in my spirit. I believe this is for you today. You may actually get to know God better in the valley that you are in than you ever will on the mountaintop of your life. Just think about it. You can experience the power of God in a more real and meaningful way right now in your life than you ever have before. This is why the misquote is so dangerous. God will never give you more than you can handle. Because if you believe that, you're gonna hang on for dear life. You're gonna keep trying, keep carrying, keep managing, trying to be strong enough because you think it's yours to carry, but it's not. It was never yours. You weren't created to carry. You were created to need God. God will give you more than you can handle when He calls you to live beyond yourself. It will be more than you can handle. If you're going to lead a family, it will be more than you can handle. If you're going to do something significant with your life, it will be more than you can handle. If you're going to raise teenagers, dear God, it will be more than you can handle. If you're going to try to step into ministry and serve, it will be more than you can handle. If you decide to get married to a woman, it will be more than you can handle. My wife is not here at the very moment. Ladies, if you get married to a man, I know that's true for me. Not that I married a man. I heard the chuckle over here. It's a Zayo church. We don't believe that. Go to the church down the street. I think they believe that. True. It's all over the place. You were never created to carry this alone. So instead of saying, I got this, I'm strong enough, I'm going to hold it together, I'm going to figure this out because God would never give me more than I can handle, we got to flip it. Instead, we say, I don't have what it takes. I can't carry this on my own. I need the presence of God. I need the power of God. I need the strength of God in my life. Because when I am weak, He is strong. Some of you came in carrying a weight like this, the heavy weight. There's pressure. There's anxiety. There's fear. There's things that are happening in your life and you don't know how to fix it. There's things that are taking place that you didn't plan on. There's some things that feel pretty heavy in your life today. And the whole time you've been telling yourself, I just got to be strong. I just got to power through. I got to hold it together. Somewhere along the way, you believed a lie that God would never give me more than I can handle. But that's not what God said. God will allow you to carry more than you can handle, so stop trying to carry it without Him. Some of you are at this place right now, you've hit your limit. You're tired, you're worn out. You don't have anything left. Good. It's a good place to be. Praise God, you're there, finally. Drop the weight. Because this is the place where self-reliance ends and dependence begins. It's that place where you stop trying to be strong and you begin to learn to trust upon His strength. So here's the question I have for you today, Zayo. Are you going to keep holding on to it? Or are you going to finally let it go? Because you don't have to carry this. You don't have to fix this. You don't have to hold everything together. God's not asking you to be strong today. He's actually asking you to be weak. Because when we are weak, He is strong. If you're carrying something today that you were never meant to carry, I believe with all my heart, this is your moment to stop holding on and hand it over to God. Can I pray for you? Just take a minute with the Lord here. I don't know how that hits you. What are you holding on to? What are you hanging on to? Because I believe in this moment, I just see the hand of God reaching out towards you. Is it your marriage? Is it your business? Is it a relationship? Is it a child? I see God seeing you. Man, you are sweating. Your veins are popping out of your forehead. You've been trying and trying, and God is standing right in front of you, extending His hand and saying, I got this. Just let me have it. Tell Him. You can have it. I want you to just picture yourself giving it over to God. That, what you're thinking about right now, just picture yourself handing it over to God. Father, I just want to thank you for being such a good God. We sang the song at the beginning of our worship time, what a God, what a God. God, you're so good to us. You're so faithful. Thank you that you don't pile stuff onto us. You actually come to take things off of us. You don't look at us and say, come on, you're not trying hard enough. Try harder. You come and put your arm around us and say, I got this. Let me take it. What a God. What a God. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to close and pray for you if you've never committed your life to God. If you've never prayed a prayer of salvation, placing your trust and your faith in Jesus. The Bible says there needs to be a moment that you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart. This is that moment. If that's you today, I want to lead you in a prayer right where you're at. Say, God, today I'm giving you my life. I trust you. Give me the faith of Jesus that I can live the life that He died to give me. And I commit to following after you all the days of my life. Today I give you my heart. Change me and make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Quick clap and celebrate those who prayed that prayer.